Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you high five three people and say, God is going to bless you tonight. Find three other people and say, God is going to bless you tonight. Don't stand right where you are and find three people. Leave your seat. Go to three different people and tell them God is going to bless you. Hallelujah. Wow. What a blessing tonight. Amen. God is good tonight. Amen. And I know that God is going to bless us. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we are thanking you so much for tonight. And we thank you for your presence here. Holy Spirit, we pray tonight that you will have your way and let your will be done. Guide us into the scriptures tonight and encourage and strengthen us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Please be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It is great to be saved. Amen. It's great to be born again. It's great to be a Christian. But it is even greater for you as a Christian to be one who serves God. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about being a member of a church. Hallelujah. Because anybody can join a church. Amen. But I'm talking about being engaged in the work of God and being involved with the work of God to the point where you can call yourself one who serves God. Hallelujah. Amen. Every church is broadly divided or can be broadly divided into two groups of people. That is, those who create what others come to enjoy and those who come to enjoy what has been created by the first group. Hallelujah. Every church has these two groups of people. Every church has these two groups of people. One group that makes things happen and then another group that enjoys what has been created. Ask your neighbor, which of the two groups do you belong to? Wait for an answer. If you don't get an answer, don't continue. Wave your hand when you get an answer, and I know I can continue preaching. You only one person has got an answer. Okay, I also wait. Give me a chair. Let me just sit down. When you get your answers, you tell me. I'm also resting. Wave your hand if you've got an answer. Only five people have answers. The rest of you demand your answers. Otherwise, I'm also going to sit here and just wait. Did you get more hands have gone up? Okay. Any more hands? Wave your hand when you get your answer. Yeah. I can feel somebody saying, I will never give an answer. Hallelujah. Yeah. But when you do that, you have a wrong heart. Amen. Yeah. But listen, every church has these two groups of people. One group makes it worth coming, and the other group just comes to enjoy and then to criticize what didn't work as they thought it should be. Hallelujah. But tonight I want to encourage you to join the group that makes, or the group that gives others a reason to come to church. And that is to join the group of people who actually serve God. Hallelujah. Not all children of God are servants of God. See, the term servant of God is broadly used to describe every Christian or everyone who goes to church. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. But to assume that everyone who goes to church is a servant of God is like assuming that anyone who goes to a McDonald's restaurant works there. Is it true? Yeah. Not everyone who enters a McDonald's restaurant comes out of the restaurant with a paycheck. Isn't it? So there are two groups of people who go to the McDonald's restaurant. But out of the two groups, there is one group that comes out with a paycheck. Both groups are exposed to similar things. They are both exposed to chicken and fries and hot oil. Hallelujah. But one group comes out of that place with a blessing called a paycheck. And the other group comes with what the others were blessed to provide. Are you getting what I'm saying? I really want to encourage you to join the group of people who serve God, because it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Why do we say it's a great thing to serve the Lord? Because the Bible says there's a difference between those who serve God and those who do not serve Him. And with time, the difference will begin to show. Hallelujah. Amen. With time, when you look at the lives of those who have served God and those who have not served God, you begin to see the difference starts to show. Hallelujah. The difference starts to show. If not even anything at all, one of the things that serving the Lord does for you is it gives you a family. Hallelujah. It gives you a family. Serving the Lord gives you a family. You know, many of us, or all of us really, do have gaps. Family gaps. Do you understand? We are missing brothers. We are missing sisters. We are missing fathers. We are missing mothers. You know, sometimes you have a father. You have someone who exists, as in the person is your father biologically. They fathered you and they exist. But you have obtained very little fatherliness from him. Because fatherliness is an influence. It's not a person. Do you see what I'm saying? The person is a father, as in they gave birth to you. But their essence is not so much that they gave birth to you as it is the influence they place in your life, which often comes because they gave birth to you. Are you following what I'm saying? So I really want to encourage you, join the group of people who serve God. Amen. Become one of those who serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And one of the blessings you will find is that God is going to bless you with a family. God will bless you with brothers. Your brother who never was, you will find him in the house of the Lord. Your sister who never was, you will find them in the house of the Lord. Your mother and your father who never were, you will find them in the house of the Lord. I have found a lot of brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord. So many of them. Hallelujah. Because when people work together, they become close. They become close and they soon start to be your brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Even to have a family of people, because after a while, when you have achieved all the things you have achieved, you realize that you need, you know, people. Even to help you enjoy it. Hallelujah. Yeah. After you've bought a nice dress, the next important thing is someone who says it's nice. Is it not true? Yes. After you've bought a very nice dress, the next important thing is a good place to take it. Where to? And then people there who can acknowledge that you look nice in the dress. One day when you've bought your car and bought your house and you've been blessed and everything, you will see that you need a family that helps you to enjoy it. You need people who help you to say you've done well. People who say this is really nice. People who celebrate it with you. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is a great blessing. With time, you will come to see that indeed there is nothing to be compared with serving God. Hallelujah. A lot of Christians today are in the church, but they do not serve God. They do not serve God. They serve any other thing. They serve in many places. Some serve in different companies, different places. But very few people actually serve God. Hallelujah. And in this meeting, I'm encouraging you to serve God. Because serving God is the greatest thing you can do with your life. Can I have an amen? Amen. Serving God is the greatest thing you can do with your life. Not serving the people you work for. The people you work for, you know, you serve them. I mean, they are getting more out of you than you are getting out of them. Yeah. There's nobody who will keep employing you if it costs them more to have you. Do you understand? Yeah, than what you give to them. If they have to pay you more than what your existence brings to them, they will fire you. Hallelujah. God is the only one you serve who seems to give you more than you bring to him. Hallelujah. God is the only person we serve who gives us much more than our service can explain. And I see you all becoming servants of God in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm going to serve God. I'm not just going to be a child of God. I'm going to be a servant of God. Hallelujah. Become a servant of God. And it is going to be the greatest blessing of your life. In Jesus' name, say amen. Amen. Tonight, I want to share with you three elements that you must add to serving God. Three elements that must go into serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Three elements that must go into your service of the Lord. Number one, we need to serve God with joyfulness and gladness of heart. Hallelujah. We need to serve God with joyfulness and gladness of heart. Hallelujah. Now, God wants people to serve him. But God wants people to serve him with joyfulness and with gladness of heart. Amen. God doesn't just want people to do things for him, but God wants people to do things for him out of a heart of joyfulness and out of a heart of gladness. Too many people serve God with no joyfulness. Hallelujah. Sometimes you watch people serving God and you can see there is no joyfulness. Even you don't like people doing things for you who are not cheerful about it. Isn't it? Sometimes you go to a restaurant and you are assigned a waiter or a waitress who doesn't seem to be happy. And you are not sure what is upsetting them. But they don't seem to be happy with the work that they are doing. Hallelujah. They don't seem to be happy. You ask them for water, and they go for a long time and come back with the water and just dump it in front of you, splashing some on you and hardly even apologizing for it. Hallelujah. And you see that your attitude starts to change towards the person. Even though you allow them to serve you, sometimes you make up your mind, even right from the beginning, that this person is not getting any tip, isn't it? Yeah, right from the beginning, the person is going to serve you for nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. God also wants people to serve him with joy. God loves people who give to him cheerfully. People who give their time cheerfully, people who give their talents cheerfully, people who give their gifts cheerfully, even people who attend service cheerfully. Hallelujah. Learn to look joyful when you come to the house of God. Tell your neighbor, you need to learn to look joyful when you come to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of us look too miserable. We are in church, but we look so miserable. We look so out of it. We look so disconnected. Even your pastor preaches for a short time because of your looks on your face. The pastor is preaching. He says, amen. Says, praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, God will bless you. Hey! I have learned not to sit by uninvolved people in church. Because sometimes in the service, we ask people to make confessions. Say, turn to your neighbor and tell them, I see God blessing you. Then you are sitting by the stone that will not say anything. I will quietly switch spots. Because it looks like when God hands my blessing to you, you will not give it to me. You are so disconnected, so uninvolved, it looks like your whole demeanor and posture is that God is really lucky to have you in his presence. As you sit in the church, your whole mind is like, God is really lucky that you are here. God is privileged that you are here. God is privileged that you are in his presence. Who is changing? Who is getting blessed? Who is changing? You tell me, between you and God, who is gaining from coming to church? Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? We need to serve the Lord with joy. You need to show some excitement about serving the Lord with joy. You say, but pastor, I don't feel happy. But listen, when someone holds a camera to your face and they say, smile, are you always happy? You see people very sad, but when they see the camera, they just... Because the photographer said, do you know why photographers tell people, say cheese, because they want to get you to smile. And cheese is one of those words that forces you to show your teeth, because you can't say cheese. Try to say cheese without showing your teeth. It doesn't work. So people know how to smile for a camera. They know how to look nice for a situation. Do you understand? In spite of what is going on inside, in spite of what is going on around you, in spite of what is going on in your world, everybody has things going on in their world. Everybody, if we all want to be sad, we can be sad for a long time. It depends on what your obsession is as you come to the house of God. And the Bible teaches us clearly that God loves people to serve him with joyfulness. Hallelujah. When you go into the Bible, you go to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 28 and verse 47. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 47. Is my message making sense to you so far? Yes. It says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, you did not serve the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart is a trigger that releases a lot of blessings into your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is a trigger that releases a lot of blessings. You need to serve God with an abundance of joyfulness and gladness of heart in order for you to experience an abundance of blessings. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So many things happen to people when they serve God with joyfulness. You know, another verse I love very much is Psalm 100. Read Psalm 100, verse 1. Psalm 100 and verse 1. Psalm 100, verse 1. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Did you see that? He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Hallelujah. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord with all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. One of the signs of gladness is singing. When people are happy, one of the things they do is to sing. So in the book of James, the Bible says, is any merry, let him sing psalms. When people are happy, one of the things they do is to sing. And the Bible says we must serve the Lord with gladness. We must come to his presence. When you are coming and approaching church and coming to God's presence, the Bible says you need to step into his presence with singing. It means God is expecting your joy or the gladness in your heart to be visible. Hallelujah. He says, no, go back to the verse, the other one we're reading, Psalm 100. Psalm 100. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. But look at the beginning. How he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Nobody likes noise. Nobody likes noise. Because noise, what is noise? Noise is relative, really. Any sound, when it's out of its place, it's noise. So you see the choir that was here? When they're singing here on Sunday evening or Sunday morning, it's called a choir. When you carry the same group of people to the bank on Monday morning and they start doing at the bank what they were doing in the church, now they will be driven away because they are doing what? They are making noise. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even within the church, when the same group of people start to do what they were doing earlier while I'm preaching, the same people, you know, Mamiya and the group, standing right here, and then as I'm preaching and I'm saying, turn in your Bibles to, then they start to sing, it wasn't easy, it was worth it, it wasn't easy, oh, easy, 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 oh, easy. You know, I mean, we cannot handle that. Hallelujah. So nobody likes noise. The definition of noise is when people start to make noise, even the right sound, in the wrong place is noise. Do you get it? So God also has his definition of noise. But there is a certain kind of noise that the Bible says God will tolerate. God says, I'll take noise from you if it's joyful. Are you getting it? God says, I don't mind if you make noise. I don't really care if your singing doesn't quite work. If you do it with an attitude of joyfulness, I'll take it from you. I'll accept it from you. I'll accept it from you. Hallelujah. He said, I know your singing is not perfect. I know your playing is not perfect. But if you do it with joyfulness, because it looks like the attitude with which you offer what you're offering is more important to God than what you're offering. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The attitude with which you offer what you are offering excites God more than what you are really offering. See, you think that God is looking for perfection. But you see, let me tell you something. God knows that if he's looking for perfection, he will have to wait for a long time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, besides, if you understand God, you will begin to see that God's understanding of sounds is very different from we human beings. Human beings have a very narrow spectrum of sounds that we can accept. Things that we can call music fall into a very narrow spectrum. If it's not coming from a keyboard or a guitar or the drum set like that, maybe throwing a trumpet or a saxophone or something like that. I mean, that's about it. That is all that human beings can handle and call music. But God goes much further. So when you read the scriptures, you see verses like, the Bible says, let the trees clap their hands. You just imagine the trees. God can feel music from the trees. It says the trees clap their hands. Can you imagine that trees, God can hear music from the trees. When Jesus was going into Jerusalem, and the Bible says people were singing Hosanna and so on, and people were hailing him, and then some people were trying to tell these people, you're making too much noise, keep quiet, you know. Then the Bible says Jesus told them that, you know, if these people were to keep quiet, you know, the stones will start to cry out. In other words, if you shut these humans up, the next level of music will actually come from the stones. Can you imagine that God can feel music from stones? You and I cannot feel music from stones. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God's level of creativity and God's ability to hear things, you know, it's amazing. I mean, God is so vast in his creativity that you and I don't come anywhere near. One of the things that fascinates me always is when you think that every human being has two eyes, two eyebrows, one nose with two holes in it, one mouth, all of them arranged in the same position, and yet they don't look alike. Has it ever occurred to you? Yeah, just think about it. You just think, Mamiya, can you come, please? Come. Zoe, you also come. And then Dorothy, you come. You look at these three people. Zoe, you have to take off these glasses. Just. All right. Now, look at these three people. Look at these three people. Can you see they all have eyebrows? Can you see they both have two eyes? Can you see they all have a nose? And they have two holes. Lift up your heads a bit so they can see. Can you see they have just two holes called nostrils? And then right beneath the nose is a mouth. All of them in the same position. All of them arranged in the same place. But how come they don't look alike? You know, maybe if you just, you know, drive the baby outside a little bit, let him just... and bring him right back when he cools down. Are you following what I'm sharing with you? How many understand what I'm saying? Yeah. That is how our God is. He makes different people and he gives them the same features. And yet, all of them represent different people. God can make the same things and they look the same to you, but they are different. Hallelujah. And he creates variety. You see, somebody's nose is flat. Another one is standing. You see, the fact that your nose is standing and mine is flat doesn't mean you breathe better than I do. Yeah. It's not like, well, when I breathe in, I get more oxygen. And then you don't get enough oxygen. When people have bolder eyes, it doesn't mean they see more clearly. Sometimes you see someone with very, very bold eyes and they need serious help with eyeglasses. And then you see another person with very small eyes, and they don't need eyeglasses. They can see better. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the kind of God we serve. Thank you, ladies. Wow. You know, that is the kind of God that we serve. Hallelujah. And so God can feel music. Listen, if God is looking for music, he has more to depend on than this choir we have here, or than your praise and worship that you hardly offer at all. Many of us come to church, we will not even sing at all before we even talk about joyfulness. But the Bible says we need to serve the Lord with gladness. God wants you to serve him with excitement. He wants you to be glad about what you are doing, because God has many alternatives to us. Can I have an amen? Amen. God has many alternatives to us. You can't be sad all the time as you're working for God. You can't be arguing all the time when you work for God. You can't be looking for the opportunity to do as little as possible always when it comes to the Lord. Rather, you must be eager. Hallelujah. You must be eager. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. He says, every man as he purposeth in his heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. You know, every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. Do you see? Or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. He says every man must think carefully about whatever they are offering to the Lord. And he says you must do it, you know, not of necessity or grudgingly. Grudgingly means you are doing it, but you're complaining. You're doing it, but you're murmuring. You're doing it, but you are muttering things undertone. You are saying things. You are complaining. No one can hear you, but you are saying it. And the Bible says, don't serve God like that. Don't do things for God and complain about it. Don't do things for God, and as you're doing it, you are muttering things and speakings and different things, and you know, you have a certain attitude. God doesn't have time for such things. Can I have an amen? Amen. You see, it is your privilege to serve the Lord. Amen. It is your privilege to serve God. And God does not have time for such things. Says God loves a cheerful giver. God loves anyone who gives him anything with cheer. Anyone who gives him his time, anyone who gives him his talents, anyone who gives him his gifts. I mean, God loves a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. Amen. Everyone likes when you get something to do something for you, you want the thing to do it with you. I mean, one of the things I can't stand at all is when I'm on my cell phone and I can't get good reception. It's like you tell the phone, if you're going to talk, talk. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. We all don't like phones with choppy reception. I mean, you're saying, hello, hello, hello. It's like the person comes in and out. The person comes in for 1 second, and then the next moment, the person is not on. You don't like a phone that works like that. And God also doesn't like people who are not like that. People who don't come through clearly and cleanly with cheer and with joy. Can I have an amen? Amen. I want to encourage you tonight to serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Serve the Lord with cheer. Serve the Lord with cheer and with gladness. And it's going to be a great blessing for your life. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? It's going to be a great blessing for your life when you serve the Lord with gladness. Say amen. Amen. Number two elements that we must bring into serving the Lord is consistency. Hallelujah. God wants you to serve Him, but He wants you to serve Him with consistency. God wants us to serve Him consistently. Not with a now you see me, now you don't kind of attitude. Do you know the movie Now You See Me, Now You Don't? God doesn't want us to serve Him like that. Hallelujah. Now, in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, go to Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel, chapter 6, and verse 16, the Bible says, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, He will deliver thee. Can I have an amen? Amen? He says, thy God whom you serve continually, He will deliver you. You know that some people had set a trap. It's okay. Some people had set a trap for Daniel. And Daniel had fallen squarely into the trap. And the king was now compelled to put Daniel in the lion's den. And so the king put Daniel in the lion's den. But imagine if you're sentenced to go to prison, and then on your way to the prison, as the guards are coming to take you, you know, after the judge has pronounced the sentence, then the judge gives you these encouraging words. And the judge tells the prisoner, listen, prisoner, I know I have to do my job by sentencing you, because as we weigh the facts of the law, it looks like the thing is against you. So you have to go serve this term. And this term was actually a death sentence. But the king said to him that, I know that as you go into the lion's den, I know that the God whom you serve continuously, that God is going to save you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, can you imagine that the judge himself, he had faith. When you read the Bible, read verse 17. It says, then the next day, a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. That is, they put Daniel in the den. Then they brought a stone and laid it upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet. That means like a seal, a signature. Do you see? And with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Do you see? Then verse 18. Verse 18 says, then the king went to his palace, you know, and passed the night fasting. He wouldn't eat anything. Neither were instruments of music brought to him, and his sleep went from him. Because the kings in those days, every evening they would have some entertainer. Somebody would come and play some cool music, and he'd just be relaxing with his girls and just be happy, you know. So the king was doing that, but that night in particular, he wouldn't. He was restless. He couldn't wait to see what the outcome was going to be by the morning. So the Bible says the king arose very early in the morning, and then he went in haste to the den of lions. He went straight to the lion's den. And then he called out in verse 20. He says, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God. Do you see? He said, Daniel, servant of the living God. I'm praying that the day will come soon when your name is mentioned, your credential will be servant of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When we say, oh, Sheila, then they will add servant of the living God. When they say, Mamiya, they say servant of the living God. They say, Nanama, servant of the living God. So the king goes to the den and says, Daniel, servant of the living God. Then he says, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lion's Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. Can you imagine what relief the king would have felt? But this king seems to recognize that it matters that a person serves God, not occasionally, but that people are consistent in their service of the Lord. This is the king who tells us that Daniel seemed to serve God continually. Daniel didn't have commercial breaks in his service of the Lord. There are many of us who take commercial breaks. We serve the Lord for a season, then we take a break. Depending on what is going on in our lives, we take a break. You see, we disappear. We're writing an exam, we disappear. We're moving house, we disappear. Yeah. Not to mention those who disappear when they have some new boyfriend or some new girlfriend. They just disappear. As a pastor, you see, I've been a pastor for a long time. Anything you do for a long time, you learn and you observe certain patterns. And one of the patterns I have observed is that sometimes when I can't find my church members, you get it, there are a number of possible reasons. And one of them is that a new girl or a new guy has entered their lives. My church members finding a new guy or a new girl. My problem is how this new guy or new girl seems to come between my members and God. Means you have a new God. Yeah. But when you live long enough, you will find out there is no guy or girl who can replace God in your life. Yeah. See? You will come to understand that all that a guy or a girl has in common with God is the G that begins their name. Yeah. After that, everything else is different. So if you find a girl and you think because it starts with G, you found God, you're making a mistake. And people find out all the time that they made a mistake. They made a mistake in assigning God's spot to another human being. How can you give God's place to a human being? How can you give God's place to a human being? You cannot give God's place to a human being. God is God. God is God. And anything you find, that thing must rather be added to God. Are you following what I'm saying? Anything you find that is not compatible with God, anything you can't add to God, anything you have to give God up to have, is not worth having. Hallelujah. Make it your policy to keep things, only things that are compatible with God in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because in the end, you will find that God is really the only lasting thing. God is the one that holds all things in place. God is the one that anchors all things in place. Are you getting what I'm saying? God is like the seat belt that will actually, whatever you find, you know, God, when you put that thing in your car and put that thing by you, you need God to strap the person or strap the thing in place. Yeah. Because human beings, the way we are, we like to move. Storms move us. Things, circumstances, they shake us. And they shake us often out of our place. It's just the way we are. That is the reason for seatbelts. Seatbelts are because human beings are highly movable by storms and shakeables. When you go through difficult times, you tend to move out. You're out of place.
Just like when a car is in an accident, people tend to move out of place. One of the most dangerous things is to have a child, you know, moving around in a car. I've heard of children who flew out of the windshield. Yeah? Because the guy stopped, he hit something, and the child came from the back and hit the windshield and went in front of his car, and he went over the child. Human beings are like that. So we hold human beings in place with a seatbelt. God is that seatbelt. Hallelujah. God is that seatbelt. When you give him up, you give up your security. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't know what I would do without God. God has helped me so much. Serving God has blessed my life so much. Serving God has helped my family. Serving God has helped my marriage. Serving God has given me new friends. Serving God has given me new fathers. Serving God has given me a whole new family of people. Serving God has thrust me into a center of blessings. I cannot even begin to name them. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you to serve God. See, don't be some wishy-washy Christian who just comes to church and goes. Tonight I'm campaigning for more than church membership. Come on. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm campaigning for more than church membership. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about being called a servant of God. Look, this king was so anxious, he couldn't sleep at night. Because he knew it, that somebody who serves God continually, it must pay some dividends. There must be some value to serving God continually. He couldn't wait for the morning to see the results. So he got up. When Daniel was going, the judge has pronounced a sentence on the prisoner. And as they are taking the prisoner away, the judge himself knows that his sentence is of no effect. And the judge tells the prisoner, I know I sentenced you to death, but I know something higher than that that will take you out of that situation. And that is the God that you serve continually. The Bible has no unnecessary details in it. When you see, because if the king had said, Daniel, the God you serve will deliver you, it would have made as much sense if he didn't want to emphasize the continuation of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Ask your neighbor, do you serve God continually? Or do you take seasonal breaks? Like as we're about to have spring break on God. Yeah. As we enter April, you're going to take spring break on God. Then you have also a summer break scheduled. And then you have a winter break scheduled. 3 to 4 times a year, you have unexplained disappearance. Yeah. 3 to 4 times a year, no one can explain it. You just disappear. You just tune out on God. You just tune out on God's things. No one knows where you are. No one knows what you're doing. No one can reach you. No one can explain what is going on. You just tune out because you are on vacation. You need to take a break of God. Hallelujah. I have served the Lord for many years. And by the grace of God, I've never taken a break on God. How do you take a break on God? It's like taking a break on breathing. Your nose is tired. So you want to take a break on breathing. How do you take a break on breathing? We don't take breaks on breathing. God is the substance of your life. He is the sustainer of your life. God keeps you together. You need to wake up to God's role in your life. Sometimes when you don't know the importance of something, you can cut it off. You see someone standing on something that's holding him and hacking at it, not knowing that where you are standing is actually because that thing is in place. You see someone busily unscrewing the thing that is holding him together. You are undoing the thing that keeps you together. You don't realize it. You don't understand that this thing you are taking apart, you yourself are going to come apart with it. So you see people killing relationships, people killing things that are actually a blessing to them. But God is speaking to you tonight. And God is saying you need to learn to be consistent. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need to learn to be consistent in serving God. Do not let anything come between you and God. Everybody's life has busy seasons, and everybody's life has less busy seasons. Everybody's life has a time when it's crowded. Everybody's life has a time when there are so many things to grapple with. But I have learned to know that the more things I have to do, the more I need God. God is not someone you put away because you are so busy. But rather, the busier you get, the more you need God. The busier you get, the more you need help. Is it not true? The more things there are to do, the more hands you need to do it. When you have a lot more to do, you need God all the more. When you have too much on your table, you have so much to think about, and you are not sure what to do, that is when you need God to occupy his place. You need to put God right in the center of your life and let him be who he's supposed to be in your life. It is God who will help you. I tell you, it is God who will help you. God is going to help you. God will help you in your marriage. God will help you as you raise your children. You know, sometimes when you are raising children, especially the younger they are, you think all that it takes is A, B, C, D, and singing little lullabies to them and showing them Barney and what do they watch these days? Dora, and SpongeBob. What do your kids watch? VeggieTales, Frozen. Do you see? Yeah, Frozen. You get it? Huh? But it gets to a point where you begin to realize that, look, children, the way the thing has become now, you need more than Frozen. Maybe it's time to thaw. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes you're raising your child by yourself. And as you're raising your child by yourself, you see, when they are young, they follow you wherever they, because they depend on you for so much. But as they grow up, it takes God to keep them following you as a parent. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need God. You need God. You cannot do without God. Hallelujah. So serve him continually, no matter what is happening in your life. This Daniel was serving God. They said nobody should pray to any other God. Otherwise, he would go to prison, the lion's den. Daniel said, not me. You can take me to the lion's den. I cannot take a break on God. I cannot take a break on serving God. I cannot take a break on helping and getting engaged with things that pertain to God. I just can't do it. Hallelujah. Don't do it. Tell your neighbor, don't do it. Tell them, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't take breaks. Serve God continually. Hallelujah. Serve him continually. And you will be glad that you have served the Lord continually. Hallelujah. What a blessing it will be for you. During difficult times, serve the Lord still. Hallelujah. Serve the Lord still when it hurts. Serve the Lord. When it's disappointing, serve the Lord. Continue to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me just take you to the third point quickly before my time is finished. Hallelujah. Number one is what? You need to serve God with what? Joyfulness and what? And gladness of heart. Number two is what? Serve God with what? With consistency. And number three is to serve God with humility of mind and in tears. Serve God with humility of mind
and in tears. Hallelujah. What does it mean to serve God with humility of mind and in tears? Well, two parts to it. Number one is to serve God with humility. You need to be humble. Hallelujah. You need to be humble. You need to be like a child. You need to be like a servant when you are serving God. See, big people don't serve God well. Hallelujah. People who are big in their mind, big in their hearts, cannot serve God properly. Hallelujah. People who are big shots in their attitude cannot serve God properly. If you're going to serve God properly, you're going to have people telling you what to do. There is no servant unless there's a master. So you cannot be a servant unless you have someone who tells you what to do. Hallelujah. But there are people in the church often whom no one can tell what to do. No one can tell you what to do. You are your own person on your own timetable, and you do what you like when you want to do it. When you want to do it, and as you want to do it. That is not the attitude of a servant. A servant does the will of his master. That means a servant necessarily needs someone to tell him what to do. Hallelujah. You need someone to tell you how to arrange the chairs. You need someone to tell you when to arrive to arrange the chairs. You need someone to tell you what to sing. You need someone to tell you how many to sing. Not that, you know, I brought three, I must release all. Pastor, today is my birthday. I have three songs. I must sing all. You're not being a servant. You have become a master. You are trying to launch your album when we are trying to have Sunday service. Hallelujah. Somebody has to tell you what to do in the service of God. And you must be humble. Hallelujah. You must be humble to accept correction. Amen. You must be humble to accept correction. Somebody must tell you, Tiffany, that's not the way to do it. Yeah. Tiffany, you have a lot of enemies in the church. Yeah. You must be excited. You see, if you are serving God with cheerfulness, it takes a lot to upset you. Yeah. You will find yourself rather laughing at your mistakes. When they rebuke you, you'll be laughing. Yeah. You are supposed to write the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you've written the graces of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they show you, you just start to laugh. But not when a person is humble. Not when a person is not humble, I mean. When people are not humble, you have to be very careful around them. You have to be careful even to say what they need to hear. You have to navigate with care. You have to walk around them with some serious caution. That is not a servant. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That is not a servant. When you found a true servant, you are not careful. I mean, when you go to a restaurant and you want to ask for things, you are not careful. Do you think about the fact that this waiter has been walking up and down the whole evening before you came? Does it even occur to you that as you are now coming to ask for water, do you know how many times she has brought water to people? Do you even care about that? You don't care that this person has been bringing water since he came to work. He's been working for 8 hours and has been fetching water for people. You just demand your water and you ask for it. And when you come, you look at the glass, you tell her, listen, it's not washed.
Yeah. Then she goes and she brings another cup, and you look at her, you see there's hair. Somebody's Brazilian hair is just floating inside this thing. Yeah. And you send her back.
Go back.
And that waiter just goes back because she's a servant. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because she's a servant. A servant can take correction. A servant can take correction. Because your aim is to please your master. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And so we must serve God with humility. And then we must serve God even if it means tears. If you serve God long enough, you will realize that serving God sometimes will put tears in your eyes. Yeah, it's not only when you break up with your boyfriend that you cry. That's not the only thing that brings tears. It is not only when you're fired from a job that you cry. But one of the things that will bring tears to your eyes at some point is what you do for the Lord. It's what you do for the Lord. When you call for a meeting and you go to the meeting and you realize you're the only person who came to the meeting in spite of all the phone calls you made and in spite of all the promises the people made, you get there and you realize you're by yourself. Can you survive that? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Look, let's read this Acts chapter 20 verse before we close. Acts chapter 20. Are you learning something tonight? Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and from verse 18. It says, and when they were come to him, he said unto them. This is Apostle Paul. This is Apostle Paul. He called all the elders and then he began to speak to them. So read verse 17 so you can understand it. Let's start from verse 17. Acts chapter 20 and from verse 17. It says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Do you see that? And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Hallelujah. You say the seasons of your life change. I agree with you. Because the seasons are not the same. How many have realized that the seasons of your life are not the same? Raise up your hand if you've noticed that your seasons are not the same. There are some seasons where things are done a lot easier than others. There are some seasons where it's difficult. There are some seasons where you are not so happy. And Paul said, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, what manner, you know, I have been with you. That means the way I have been with you at all seasons. Do you see? Look at the next verse, verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and many temptations. He said, I serve the Lord with humility of mind, with tears, with temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Hallelujah. And then he says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you. In other words, what I put out was actually determined not by what I wanted to put out, but by what I thought was useful to you. Anything that I thought was profitable to you, I did not hold back. Today in the church, we find many people who have things, gifts, abilities that could be profitable to the church and to God's people, but which we hold back. It could be useful. Profitable means the thing is very useful. It means it's beneficial, but I won't give it to you. Hallelujah. He said many tears and temptations. Can you believe the Apostle Paul said he cried a lot? He said, I cried a lot. He said, for your sake, I cried a lot. I shed tears. He said, I had many temptations. I was tempted sometimes to quit. Sometimes not to join anymore. Sometimes he would leave the meeting and say, this is my last meeting. I'll never go there again. I'll never go there again. I'll never do it again. I'll never join again. I'll never be part of this again. He said, I had many tempting situations, but I stayed with it. And I continued to serve God through the tears. Are you going to serve God when the tears start to roll? Are you going to continue serving God in the midst of temptations? Hallelujah. Or are we going to fall by the wayside when we are tempted? Are you going to continue and persist? I see you persisting in the name of Jesus. That no matter what goes on in your life, you're going to persist. You'll be crying but continuing. Yeah, crying but continuing. It's painful sometimes when you serve God. Sometimes when you are misunderstood by people. Do you see? When you are misunderstood by people. A long time ago, I went to visit somebody, a lady. And then, as I was waiting just outside the house, you know, I think the lady's sister or mother or somebody came to open the door, you know. And I had gone to visit the person. Then I could hear them saying inside, the one who came to open the door went to tell the lady I went to look for inside, your boyfriend is at the door. Yeah. Say, your boyfriend is at the door. Yeah. Sometimes people misunderstand what you're doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes when pastors raise offerings for the work of God, people say that they're after money. After money. So when you go to church, as you're wearing your tie, people are seeing notes. So people can see, this is last week's offering. This one is the week before offering. That shoe is my tithe from last week. You shred the pastor to pieces, and all you see is dollar bills. Are you understanding what I'm saying? How would you like it if you are walking around and as you're walking, people are just calling and saying, this is your skirt, it's my money. Hallelujah. Many times you'll be misunderstood. Sometimes when people, you know, as we have encouraged people to work for the Lord, you know, as we have encouraged people to stay in Christ, then we end up being called a cult. Yeah. The people call us a cult. Why are we a cult? Because they say it's difficult to leave the church. Can you imagine? What people want is that if we are in the church, suddenly Mamiya just disappears. Nobody should care about her. Do you understand? So if I go after Mamiya and I start to call her and I say, Mamiya, why are you not coming to church anymore? What's going on? What's going on in your life? And you're trying to encourage the person back into the fold. The Bible or the people say that because of that you are caught. That means you must let people feel free and just leave. You see, it's the devil, because the Bible says that when the sheep gather, he has no meat. Yeah, so he's the one that wants us to leave the sheep alone. When the sheep are scattering, we must leave them alone so that he can have some meat. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. See, sometimes people are in the church, when they get hurt, they say all kinds of things. Very painful things. I'm sure those are some of the things that made Paul cry. Let me show you the verse I was reading with you when I was coming. What was it? Acts chapter what? 24, I think. Acts chapter 24 and verse 4. Go to Acts chapter 24 and verse 4. Acts chapter 24 and verse 4. We're just going to close in a short time. But Acts chapter 24. Look at this. It says, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldst hear us of thy clemency a few words. This is some people have come to the king, Felix, and they are coming to complain about Paul. Look at what they are saying. Verse 5. This is a preacher. They said that we have found this man a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Can you imagine that these are the credentials of a pastor? Who has another version? Who has another version? Does anybody have another version of the Bible? Anybody has another version real quick? You don't have another version? Zoe, you have another version? Right? He says, for we have found this man. Listen to this. He said, if you have another version, I would love to read it. He says, we have found this man to be a plague, an agitator among the Jews throughout the Roman world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Wow! This is the guy who was going around planting churches. Do you see? The guy who was going around establishing churches. The church that he established, the scriptures he wrote, that's what you and I are living on today. And they called him a ringleader of the sect. They called him, he says, we have found this man, a real pest. So don't be surprised today if you hear people saying all kinds of things about the church. When you hear people, sometimes people who have been hurt, people who are offended, sometimes, you know, you see in the church, I've been a pastor of a couple before that left the church because the husband, you know, they were quarreling, and then whatever I was telling the husband, you know, the wife said that I'm on the husband's side. Then as I was talking to the wife, the husband said I was on the wife's side, you know. And so no matter what you said, it never worked until they eventually both left the church. And then when they both leave the church, they are still so hurt. Do you understand? I mean, they've left the church, they've left each other, but they are still hurt. And when these sort of things keep festering in people, you find them going around saying all kinds of things, calling the same church that has been a blessing to them a cult. And they say it convincingly. They tell you, listen, I was a member of that thing for 5 years. And if I tell you it's a cult, it's a cult. You have to be careful. Hallelujah. Look at them. This is Apostle Paul. We have found this man a real pest, a fellow who stirs up dissension among the Jews. That means he divides families. Yeah, the other day I heard somebody say, Lighthouse Chapel, they divide families. Same thing over there. So many times people don't realize that they're actually fulfilling the scriptures. You are giving us a chance to experience the same things as Christ did. Your talking validates our Christianity. You give us reason to be sure that we are true followers of Christ. He said he's a ringleader of the sect. They called the church a sect. Was Paul a founder of a sect? The churches that he was pastoring, they called the church a sect. Same as Jim Jones. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And when a pastor has heard all these things, you shouldn't be surprised that he was in tears. But the Bible says he didn't stop. He said, I had reason to cry, but I didn't. He said, I served God even though it hurt. I served God even though it was painful. And I want that to be your story also. I want you to be able to say, I served God in humility of mind. I served God in tears and temptations. Hallelujah. Many temptations. I don't know what your temptations are. But I just want to encourage you tonight to keep serving God through your temptations. Don't stop serving God. People will call you names. People will call you names. They will say you are a fool. They will say you are a fool. They will say you are a fool. So are you one of those people? You are a fool.
But don't give up. Keep serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Keep serving the Lord. Keep serving. Remain active. Continue to do it. You know, at times, sometimes when I hear people saying all kinds of things, I just say to myself, if this person was lying on a sick bed, dying of cancer, his opinion would change very fast. Yeah. So I just say to myself, well, I cannot wish that you were on your deathbed. So I'll just leave you alone. Because if you were sick and lying on a bed dying, you would change your opinion about many things very fast. It's because you haven't seen someone who is dying before. Or if you yourself have come near dying, you will suddenly see that your opinion will change. Recently, somebody showed me a photograph of an accident he was in. He was driving over, he was going, you know where you're going over the overpass and the road is down there, you know, and then he hits the rail and his car went down headlong like that and went down. And he showed me a photo of the car standing vertically with the head down. And I looked at him. I said, brother, if I were you, I'd be asking God, why did you even save me from this? Because you're supposed to be dead and the pictures are evidence. Your photos that you are giving me show that you are not supposed to be alive. And I could see that the brother, as he stood there, he was shaking. You know, he was shaking because he realized how close he had come to ending it. Yeah. It is because we do not know how close we are often and how close every day we come very close to death and God spares us. That's what makes us feel puffed up, makes us feel big, because you have some small vitamins you take. So you have become proud. Every time you take the vitamins, you feel vitality. So you feel like you are strong. Who told you that vitamins are the only reason people live? You take one a day for man. So you think the vitamins are adding a day. Every time you take one, it adds one more day to your life. Yeah. People have more faith in vitamins than God. I mean, when they take the vitamins, my dullness shakes off and I come alive. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to serve the Lord. Amen. Bring these three elements into your service of the Lord. Number one is what? Serve the Lord with what? With joyfulness. Everybody say joyfulness. Say, I will serve the Lord with joyfulness and gladness of heart. Say, Lord, help me to serve you with joyfulness and gladness of heart. Hallelujah. And number two is what? Serve the Lord with consistency. Tell somebody, no more breaks. Yeah, tell the person, it's spring break, but you see me here. And tell the person, this summer, I'll still be serving. And come the winter, I'll still be serving. Hallelujah. Keep serving. Paul said, I was with you at all seasons. All seasons. All seasons. When you read the story, you see that Paul had a coat. When you read that Paul had a coat, there's a reason why God is telling you that Paul had a coat. Because when people have a coat, it's a message of the season they're in.